Well, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been talking and discussing that for some time. But I feel like, and it was suggested, that we take a small break to talk about the new logo, the Trinity Family Crest. So it's in your bulletin. Does everybody have a bulletin? Do you see it in your bulletin? And I think it's important because it's not too far detached from where we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. What it represents, what that logo represents, is not too far from what we've been talking about. The passage that we're in today will be in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your pew Bible, what page is that? Ephesians 2. Let's have a little sword drill. Let's see who can get there first and yell out the 976, Lathia. 976 in your pew Bible. Oh, 977. The actual passage is in 977. So if you look there in the picture of your logo in the bulletin, you see, what is the first thing you see at the top? You see a crown, right? And then you see a family shield right up under that. And then you see up under it olive branches and things like that. And they all mean something. Now, I wish I could take credit for all this, and I think it was just the Sovereign Lord, the person that designed it, really. I don't know if she even had this in mind, but it's been real meaningful to me. A family crest is something that is used to identify a family. It's almost like a last name, right? Our last name tells someone just kind of about who we are, our family lineage, what we're about. And a family crest over the centuries has been sort of that. You would show your family crest and someone would have an inclination or an idea about what you're about, well, who your family is and was. And so the family crest should tell us a little bit about something, should tell someone something about us, who we are. And the logo says two things, and I'm going to talk about one of them today and another one next week. It tells us about our status, who we are, and our mission, what we're here to do. All right, you got that? Our status and our mission. Now, let me ask you this. The two parts of that logo is going to be the crown and the crest that are right up under it. We're going to say that this crest tells us and would tell somebody else that we are a family under the Lordship of Christ. The crown represents Christ, and the shield up under it represents our family. We are a family underneath the Lordship of Christ. It's called Trinity what? Family. Now, even though we're talking a lot about Trinity family today, we're going to be talking about the family of God, what this passage calls the household of faith in verse 19. Look at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household or family of God. So I don't know about you, but I don't live where I grew up. Okay? So there comes a point in time when I guess you're married long enough, you don't call where you grew up necessarily home. You call it home, kind of little H home, and then where you live now is the big H home. But you know, if I live right down the road or if I go home, do I act and dress the same way when I'm around family? Right? If you go home and you're around your family, and if somebody like your friends were to come over unexpected, would they find you how they would find you at, say, school? Do you act a certain way around family than you do around others? Am I making this point pretty clear? I don't know, but when I would go home, you know, you stay in your pajamas all day long, right? You rest. You don't really care what your brothers and sisters think about you. I kind of do wear a blue shirt and khaki pants at the house. People keep talking about blue shirts and khaki pants. The reason why I wear a blue shirt and khaki pants is because it's just easy. I can wear it anywhere. I can wear it at my house. I can wear it to church. I can wear it anywhere. You throw on a jacket, wear it. All right. Anyway, family is significant because when we go to and we're around our family, we're at ease. We don't make ourselves up. A lot of times I won't do my hair, just throw on a hat. You don't really mask your voice or your language. You just kind of talk how you've always talked, right? You're not trying to put on, and isn't that what we've been talking about for weeks now? Be who you are. And the best place to be who you are is around your family. And so it's really important, I think, that the church begins to recognize herself as a family. Because a family is supposed to be a safe place. It's supposed to be a safe environment where we can be who we are. That's extremely important. And so the logo tells us, and the scriptures also tell us, that we are a family. If you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, you have been adopted into the family of God. Isn't that amazing that God would say of his people that you are my children? You are to be identified as a household of faith. Brothers and sisters is what we call ourselves. And we have a heavenly Father. And I began to think, I'm like, you know, why is it that I'm not really worried about how I look around my family? Why is it that I will say things to my family that I would never say to a friend? Why is it that I will act certain ways in my house that I would never act outside of my house? Why is that? What's so special about the household? What's so special about family? I'm going to try my best to communicate this, okay? Because I'm still trying to wrestle with it too. But look at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Think about for a second being a stranger. What does that make you feel like? Or an alien? Anybody know what an alien is? It's not something in outer space, but when the Bible talks about an alien, what does it talk about you? Like a robber? Well, I guess an alien could be a robber, right? An alien is somebody who's not from your family, not from your country. In other words, if you were to go to another country, you would be identified as an alien. You would not be a resident of that place. You're not from that place. The laws that, you know, the rights that those individuals have to their homeland, you don't have. You're an alien. Or a stranger. What happens when a stranger comes around? You don't treat them like you treat family. You don't know them very well. And so aliens and strangers are typically loners. They feel very alone. There's a big community, and they're not a part of that big community. And so what you hear from strangers and aliens a lot is, man, every man for himself. I got to fend for myself. I've got to provide for myself. I'm all alone. I've got to, actually, when I approach this family, I've actually got to become who I think they might like in order to be accepted by them. I've got to actually, you know, maneuver my way around this thing so I won't die. And that's who we are before we are a Christian. That's who we are when we are outside of the faith. We were once aliens and strangers, or we were once what the Bible also would call an orphan. We didn't have a father. And so if you'll look in your Bibles at verse 12 of the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 12, it says, remember that you were at that time, in other words, before Christ saved you, remember at that time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. And here's the big one, having no hope and without God in the world. So an alien and a stranger has no hope. And what does that mean very practically? That means when your life gets chaotic, you have absolutely no certainty that things are going to get better. That's what it means to have no hope. When your world collides with you, or when somebody else in your world collides with you and things get messy, you don't have any basis for thinking that things are going to get better. Your life isn't going to go up one day. your life just seems like it's going to get darker and darker and darker, and that's what our life is like without God. We've got no hope. There's no promise of things getting better, and we don't have God in the world. It says, so then, in verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you go from being an alien and a stranger to being a child of God. You go from being an alien and a stranger to being a part of the household of faith. How did that transition come to be? That's what we have to ask ourselves. How do you go from being not a Christian to being a Christian? How do you go from being somebody who's not a believer, somebody who's not in the church, to somebody who is actually a Christian, a believer, somebody who is part of the family of God? And this is extremely important to realize. Because the most significant parts of our lives, family is so significant because family is safe. It's certain. You can't take your last name away, can you? It doesn't matter how bad you act in that house. Jude, you're still a Moore. It doesn't matter how crazy I was as a teenager. I was still a part of that household. In other words, me being a Moore had nothing to do with me. The most significant parts of our lives are directly related to incidences and events that we have nothing to do with. Am I making sense? So if there is an identity in this neighborhood, okay, if men in this neighborhood identify themselves as something, what are they going to say? They're what? Trinity Gardens boys, right? TGB. I'm from Trinity Gardens. But did you bring yourself to Trinity Gardens? You were born here. You're a part of this neighborhood, and you didn't have anything to do with that. And so you take a lot of pride. If you're an American, I grew up in Auburn, so I take a lot of pride in the fact that I'm from Auburn. But I had nothing to do with the fact that I am an Auburn. It's just who I am. I grew up there. It's my hometown. And so I didn't like Auburn football because they just started winning or whatever. It's just who I am. It had nothing to do with me. What I'm saying is that just like being in a family, whatever nationality you are, whatever culture you're from, it usually has nothing to do with you. And you find a lot of safety in that because no matter what you do, it identifies you as who you are, not what you've done. You didn't make yourself a part of Trinity Gardens. You were born here, right? You didn't make yourself an American. You were born here. You didn't have anything to do with that. And so there's a lot of pride in me. There's a lot of safety because no matter what you do, you will always be from Trinity Gardens. No matter what I do, I will always be from Auburn. No matter what I do, I will be a Moore. Those things have nothing to do with my actions. They were actually given to me. And here's the thing. This is exactly how salvation happens. We become a part of the family of God, not because we do something, but because Christ did something. Family, here's point number one, if you're writing down points. Family is so important because it's the best environment to rest and to feel safe. Because you can be honest about who you are. You were given the name Christian. You didn't make yourself a Christian. It was given to you. That name was given to you just like your last name. Read it in verse 12, or verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, brought yourself near by the blood of Christ. Is that what it says? You, when you were far off, you brought yourself near. You made yourself a Christian. No, that's not what it says. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. You were brought near by the blood of Christ. I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense? When you get baptized, you're given a new name because you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And baptism, contrary to public opinion, is not primarily an announcement of what you are doing. It is an announcement of what God has done. God has given you, He is marking you out as His child by giving you and baptizing and identifying you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have a new family crest. You have a new identity. You are part of a new family. You've been adopted. And no matter how crazy you get, you're still going to be in that family. Doesn't that allow you to rest a little bit? Man, I hope it does. Let's just imagine you were trying to make a name for yourself. Let's just try to think in your mind what you want people to think about you. You want people to think you are professional. You want people to think that you're trying to make a certain name for yourself. So when somebody mentions your name, you want them to think a certain way about you. Making a name for yourself. It's all throughout Scripture, people wanting to make a name for themselves. There's no rest in that. If you want people to think you're beautiful, if you want people to think that you're smart, if you want people to think that you're a professional, if you want people to think that you're strong, if you want people to think that you're very religious, if you want people to think that you've got your life together, if you want people to think that you're a good parent, all of that stuff, if you try to make a name for yourself, guess what? If you made it, you can lose it. And you're going to have to keep it up. Right? And you're never free. You're never free. Always working to try to make that name and keep that name, to nurture that name, to keep it up and all that kind of. But what if a better name than you could ever make for yourself was given to you? What if the name was given to you? You didn't have to do anything for it. Can you rest? You being a part of the family of Christ doesn't say anything about what you've done. It now represents who you are. And you can't change it. Who you are, what you become, and what you ultimately do is your Father's responsibility. He saved you. He made you alive. And by His Spirit, He will sanctify you, and Christ will present you holy and blameless on the last day, and you can be confident about that. Because no matter how much you run away from Him, He will track you down. Is that good news? Does that make sense? You're a part of the family. And guess what? Everybody pay attention to this. If you're a part of the family of God, you can rest. You can be who you are because there's nobody that's going to erase that name from you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. As a matter of fact, if you become a part of the family of God, people are probably not going to think too highly of you. They didn't think too highly of Jesus. Our status in life does not depend on us. It doesn't depend on what other people think about us. Our status in life depends upon Christ. We can rest and feel safe. And here's why. Look at verse 14. For He Himself is our peace. He shed His blood. We have peace with God the Father. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two. And here's what I want you to hear. So making peace, and He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. If you are in Christ, the Father, your Father, God the Father, looks upon you, and He is crazy about you. He looks upon you as He would look upon His Son, Jesus. second thing about being a part of Christ's family, it's the best place for growth. Not only can you feel safe here, but you can grow here. How many of you want to grow? Anybody want to grow? Let's get practical with that. None of us like it when our life feels like it's going downhill, right? If we can't see where we're going, we have no idea if things are going to work out. But you can be confident that if you're among the body of Christ, if you are among the family of God, you can be confident that you will grow. And guess what? It's because you've got the name that He gave you. You ready for this? Now, not all of us like the way we grow, but you can be confident that you'll grow, because growing sometimes hurts. When I was probably 15 or 16 years old, I had so much pain in my joints. I went to the doctor like 3 or 4 times that year. And every time I'd go back to the doctor, he'd be like, yep, you got another few inches to grow. Yep, you got another few inches to grow. And I was in pain. I did not like getting this tall. It hurt. Growing hurts. That's the point. But it's good. Look at verse 19 again. Verse 20, you're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In other words, if you are a family, if you are part of the family of God, this is the foundation, the apostles and the prophets, the word of God. And so if you need direction in life, if you need to know where to go and how to navigate situations, you can always go to the word of God. And everybody in the family of God is held accountable to the word of God. And that's good news, isn't it? Because in the Word of God, we read things like, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands in all things. And we see things like, you know what, don't murder people. Everybody says that they hate the law, but they don't hate the law when it means that they're safe, right? I mean, we love what the Word of God says. The Word of God directs us on how we should live and how we should respond. In the Word of God, we have Jesus saying, God in the flesh, we have Him saying, don't be anxious about your life. And so we can go to the Word of God and when we feel anxious, and we can hear God Himself saying to us things like, don't be anxious about your life. Let's keep reading. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. In other words, the family here is being likened to a building, and Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one who sets the foundation. He's the one who sets everything straight. If your foundation's off, everything's crooked, but we know that Jesus isn't crooked, is He? Everything is right in the family of God. It's set in the right direction, and because Christ is the cornerstone, you can trust that if you are part of the family of God, not only can you be who you are, you don't have to put on masks or facades. You can rest and feel safe. But you can also trust that you'll grow in this family, because Christ is the cornerstone, and He likens us as a building. Not the church building, but this whole family here. If you're in Christ, we are a building, and we are joined together. Did you read that? Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom, if we are in Christ, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We grow. We have the Word of God that helps us grow. We have the people of God that help us grow. We're joined together. In other words, you can't grow by yourself. Most of us want to grow by ourselves, but we can't grow by ourselves. And if you've been around me any length of time, you'll hear me say that, you know, a lot of times when we grow by ourselves, we look at our arm and we're like, man, there's some dirt on my arm. You know, I need to go to the Word of God and I need to get some dirt off. And then I'm like, oh man, there's some dirt on my sleeve. I need to get that off too. And then, man, it's on my chest. And once I get all that dirt off, I feel pretty good about myself. Until somebody walks behind me. And they're like, man, you got all kind of dirt on your back. And I didn't even see it. We need each other. to grow together. And then we have the Spirit of God. So we have the Word of God, the people of God, and we have the Spirit of God. Do you see how well He has equipped us to grow and to have hope? In Him, verse 22, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so if we are the family of Christ, we have all the hope in the world that we can just be who we are. You know what? Could we be a family that is not characterized as a hypocritical church, but as just a real church, where people who are just real? We do life together. And you know what? Life is messy. How many of you know that life is messy? How many of you have never faced a mess in your life? Everybody look around. There's no hands up here. And we're all Christians, so we're sure we're telling the truth, right? Raise your hand if you don't have at least one mess in your life right now. If you are messless, raise your hand. Everybody's got a mess. Raise your hand if everything in your life is just fine and dandy and there's not something that you really need to work on. I'm the pastor too. And man, I'm jacked up. I forget a lot. I get frustrated, which really means angry, you know. So be in the family of God in Christ, and here's where I'm going to end. And I hope all this has made sense. But here's what I really want to make sense right here. The Lord is growing His family. And that doesn't mean that He wants to build on and add on to this church. It doesn't mean that He wants us to raise a whole bunch of money so that we can have an expansion project at 2467 Victory Avenue. What He is saying is that He is adding people to His family. He is giving other people His name. And He is in the business of not giving people who are well. You know the only precondition that you have to meet to be a Christian? Tell me the precondition that you have to meet to be a Christian. Tell me the prerequisite that you have to meet. The only thing that you have to do in order to be a Christian is recognize and confess the fact that you don't have your life together. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And He is on a mission to save sinners. He is on a mission to save broken people. And so if you're not a broken person, then you have nothing to do with Jesus. But we're all broken here. And isn't that good news? Because He is building His church. Here's what that means. Everybody in this room, pay attention. Here's what that means. Is that if you come in contact with another individual, and that individual is all jacked up just like you are, the Lord might be using you to build His church. The Lord might be using you to build this family. And do you want more families like this in the world? Do you want more families that are real? Do you want more people that are real? Would you rather have somebody that's not real, that's trying to establish a name for themselves, so that when you confront them, they go, wait a minute, do you know what my name is? You're talking to Scott Moore here. I'm never wrong. And see, if I'm trying to build a name for myself that I'm always right, I can't be wrong. But what if I've been given a name that can never go away? And it actually honors my Father when we tell the truth and we trust the truth. It's hard, isn't it? But we all have the same past, right? Read all of chapter 2. We've all been adopted into this family. We didn't make ourselves holy to get into this family. And our Father grows this family. Every person, therefore, we encounter must be met with surrender. We have to ask ourselves, is the Lord building His church when they are bringing somebody I don't like in this building? Did you know that the Lord uses you to build His church? There was a story of a lady. Somebody told this. I heard it in a sermon last week, I believe. There was a lady. She was a beautiful lady. And after years and years of alcoholism, she couldn't get rid of drinking too much. And she went to this meeting. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. And she walks in the door, and she actually looks really rough. You couldn't tell that she used to be a beauty queen, but you could sort of tell that in the past she was, but she had everything together, but she lost her family, she lost her job, she lost all of her money, she didn't have anything. And she walks in this door, and she comes in, and you know, I guess, I don't know if you know what AA is all about, but everybody kind of talks about, you know, they introduce themselves, hi, my name is Scott, and I'm an alcoholic, and then and all this, and everybody kind of tells what they're struggling with. And she stands up, and she's all broken, and she says something like, I've lost it all. I don't know where to go. And I can't stop drinking. Now, what would you do if she walked in here and said that? A lady stood up and walked over to her and brought her to her seat, took her by the head and placed her head on her chest, and she said, everything's going to be okay. You're with us now. That's the kind of family we need to be. Let's pray.